There you go.
We'll wait
a few moments. See if anybody shows up on there. Somebody's going to have to read the questions. All right, hello everybody. This is Mark Anderson, the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Frederick County. We are live with our second episode of our podcast, Freedom in the Valley. Tonight you have four of the five officers of Libertarian Party of Frederick County. And we are going to be discussing libertarianism, what it means to each of us, the different schools of thought, the different types of libertarian thought there are, as well as how to apply it locally and how do we actually apply libertarian principles to local politics to help each of us live a more free and prosperous life. I'll let everybody introduce themselves. We'll start with Heather on my left.
I'm Heather Rambo, Secretary of the Libertarian Party of Frederick County.
My name is Ariel Bannigan. I'm at-large liaison for the LPFC.
And I'm Michael Riley, Vice Chair of the party.
All right. So the topic for tonight, again, is libertarianism and just all things libertarianism. And I guess we'll start... I'll start. Michael, come up with the idea for this episode, for this topic. And one thing he wanted to discuss was, well, we're no longer live, it looks like. There we are. One of the things was what libertarianism means to each of us. And to me, libertarianism is just government getting out of the way. I think... For me personally, I look at government as a failure in the things they try to do, whether it's education or healthcare or all of the ways government tries to get involved with planning society and involved with people's lives. I think it just makes things worse. It makes it more expensive. And that's really the brunt of what libertarianism is for me, is that I think the government needs to step out of the way, let individuals lead their lives, and let business be business, and government really, its focus should be the very basics. this is going to be an issue, I see. We're losing connection regularly. So yeah, we're back. Bear with us. You know, it looks like the connection isn't the best right now, but this is the first time we've had a problem with this. We're at 060 Cafe, so I think it'll be fine. So anyway, again, I think the government, the only role is defending life, liberty, and property. I think there is a valid reason to have government in charge of a military that is only used to defend and not go on the offense and attack. I think there is justification for a government with a police force and fire department and those kind of things. And a court system to just make things, it's just simpler, I believe, for the government to have the authority to do certain things. And that certainly, I would say, puts me in the minarchist, and we'll get to that category, or classical liberal category, probably. So we'll let everybody else discuss what libertarian is to them, but that's what it is to me. So who wants to be next?
I can go ahead.
All right, Michael?
Kind of playing off of what you said about letting individuals be individuals, for me, libertarianism is kind of a philosophy, not a political philosophy, yes, but more broadly a philosophy about how society can be structured, how it's organized, that focuses on the individuals. There are other philosophies of government, other political philosophies that put different groups, different collectives as the primary focus of society. There are ideologies that place the government itself as separate from society and in charge of it. You have theocracies where religion is the central focus. But for me, libertarianism is that the individual is the primary object of a society, and that individuals structure the society, that they'll make the rules and manage things if they choose to put some of their authority in a government to manage to protect their property, to have an army for defense, if they choose to let a government run their court system. That's their choice, and it should be from this libertarian perspective as opposed to other ones where the state as its own entity decides that it's going to run the army for the people, or the church should be in charge of arbitrating disputes rather than whatever system the individuals choose. And that's where I come from in the libertarian perspective, is that it's a philosophy of the individual.
Excellent. Yeah, that's great. Who's next? Ariel?
Sure. I'm a simple guy, and I like, if you can take everything and just boil it down, just distill it down to, like, it's the essence. And to me, like, I know, it's actually a book title, a good, I guess, primer on libertarianism by Matt Kibbe. And the title of his book is Don't Hurt People and Don't Take Their Stuff. And, I mean, that really describes a lot of what they said. It kind of sums it up in one little sentence. So I like stuff like that, because you can go from there. You know, that's enough to catch people's attention. And then they say, like, well, what do you mean by, like, don't take their stuff? And you say, well, like, you know, and then you can go into taxation and things like that. But I think that's a good starting point, a good kind of like an icebreaker for people. And then I like the fact that you can take a principled approach and another. I'm a big fan of Jason Stapleton, and he's got a libertarian podcast that's growing leaps and bounds now. And I kind of align myself a lot with. And we lost you.
The audio. So still
yeah. Okay. Well, I align myself with a lot of his thoughts, and I kind of agree with a lot of what he says. But he has five principles that he lays out on the show, and he kind of interweaves them through the episodes. And I'll just run through them real quick. Peace, obviously, like Mark said, and I, you know, both of them said, you're against war unless it's for defense of the nation. Then you're just against the war. I mean, it doesn't matter kind of what is going on. Our country is our country to defend. Other people, I mean, it's just not, we're not world police. So, peace. And then you can take that all the way down to the individual level, too. You're not aggressing against other people. I believe in self-defense and defense of loved ones and all that, but you're not going out and being a bully. You're not doing all that. Tolerance. The simplest thing is, I don't have to agree with you, but I support your right to do whatever it is, to think whatever it is, to say whatever it is. And it's not like the kind of like the faux tolerance that you see a lot on like progressive and the left, and where, you know, they're ultra tolerant, they're the tolerant group, unless you don't agree with what they think or how what they believe, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're a racist or you're a bigot or you're, you know, whatever. And so it's tolerance, it's legit, you know. I might think you're nuts, I might think that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, but that's your right to think or do whatever. Individualism, I got a definition of that. Social theory favoring freedom of action for individuals over collective or state control. So exactly what Michael said. And to me, that's a huge part. The smallest, that's another quote, is the smallest minority on earth is the individual. And I think that really sums it up. I'm a big believer in personal responsibility. I think that ties into individualism, and that's really, you have a responsibility to take care of yourself, your family, your loved ones, your friends, your coworkers. It's not.
Let's stop. I wonder if having two computers connected is what's killing us. We just crashed. Sorry, folks. We're going to have to pause this.
All right, are
we
back again?
All right, we are back. Sorry about that. Our connection crashed. We're trying to go on with it, but so far, again, if you're just joining us, we're discussing libertarianism, and I, Ariel, and Michael have all given our interpretations of it, what it means to us, and now I believe it's Heather's turn.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, I guess just to add to everybody's, because it's, those were all really good explanations. I usually start out with something like, libertarianism is personal liberty with personal responsibility. And what I really love about it is that it's centered around some really simple but profound principles of self-ownership, and then by extension, ownership of your property, which is basically the creation or what you better with your work. And then the non-aggression principle, which is that you won't initiate force against somebody else. So basically, like what you said, don't hurt people, don't take their stuff, let everybody, you know, make their own choices and take responsibility for that.
That's great. And I like everybody's interpretation. I think we're all more or less on the same board, give or take some degrees of insanity. But, you know, I like with Ariel mentioned Jason Stapleton's five principles, and tolerance was something that stuck out to me. You were mentioning the intolerant left, basically. The ultra tolerant, except when they're intolerant. And tolerance is, you know, allowing other opinions. You know, allowing other people to state what their opinions are and not shouting them out or shutting them down when they say something disagreeable. And Heather was talking about the non-aggression principle, and you know, it all ties into people can live their lives in any manner they see fit. They can do what they want as long as they don't violate the non-aggression principle, more or less. As long as they don't infringe on your rights. A person can do drugs if they want, but they can't steal to get those drugs. So that's why libertarians are generally in favor of drug legalization or decriminalization, because theft is already a crime, unless you're the government. But theft is a crime that's punishable, and you know, with being, you know, if drugs were legal as one issue, you know, the theory is, you know, like in Portugal, one would, how am I trying to put it? The evidence is there that the prohibition of drugs is what's generating the crime, and we are dead again with the crash. I don't know what's going on. Just hit pause on the, where it says, right? Hit pause. Okay. And then,
wait.
One more time.
Might have better.
Oh, yeah. Good job. Good job, Michael.
Let's get us back recording here.
Yeah. And, Michael, you're going to have to scoot in here a little bit.
Okay, make sure everybody can see me. Hi.
So now we've discussed what libertarianism is to each of us. Let's discuss some different schools of thought and different types of libertarians, because there are so many types of libertarians out there, and none of them agree on a thing. So let's start. Michael, give us some examples.
Yeah, Michael is the expert.
Michael is the philosophical libertarian expert.
Yeah, I appreciate that credential I've just been bestowed. I guess there are a few different schools of thoughts on libertarianism. They're similar to how you have different views in the Republican Party, or, and I'm sure in the Democrat Party, though I can't seem to think of the differences there right now. There are different philosophies of libertarianism and different factions, you might even say, within the Libertarian Party. The two biggest distinctions that I guess have been with the party since kind of the beginning is the anarchist versus the minarchist debate. The main thing is basically whether or not there should be a government. What does it mean to have as little government as necessary? The minarchists kind of follow the classical liberal tradition, and we've lost our live stream again. So it doesn't seem to matter. We gonna wait for it to come back on, or?
Yeah, let's wait.
All right.
It keeps cutting out about like every 4 seconds over here. Watching it.
That's fun. Okay, so I was saying.
So as Michael was saying.
The kind of anarchist-minarchist divide. Libertarians in general want as limited and little government as necessary for society to function. And I guess the biggest difference is zero the minimum that you can go to. And I guess the anarchist faction would say, yes, if people can come together and have formed governments, the United States was kind of formed as a new government from people. It wasn't a pre-existing institution. Why couldn't people do the same thing voluntarily and non-coercively? Minarchists would kind of say that there's too much friction between people, and to some degree you have to have some government to make society function, that people by themselves aren't naturally going to cooperate, aren't voluntarily going to subject themselves to rules that they might not agree with just to get along with society. And the whole argument there is kind of longer than we would have time for to get into, but that's one of the main distinctions. Some of the other distinctions you could make, I guess, would be between left and right libertarianism. And that one kind of confuses some people. I think most libertarians find themselves at least somewhat on the right side. A lot of people that I've met in the Libertarian Party and who kind of identify as libertarians came from the Republican Party one way or another when they realized that the party wasn't what it was claiming to be, that there wasn't really a principled background behind it anymore, if there ever was. I'm not going to get into that conversation because I don't really know. But the main distinction there is the right libertarians tend to be more market-friendly, even though the left can be somewhat. There's the concept of libertarian socialism, which is sounds like a contradiction. What's that?
I said an oxymoron.
It sounds like an oxymoron to some people, but
just morons.
Yeah, but the idea is if people can voluntarily get together and have a capitalist system where, you know, we all agree that I own this land and that if you try to take from me, that I am right to defend myself and right to defend that land, there's the opposite argument that people could agree that we have collective ownership over this. We don't necessarily need a government to enforce that beyond what we deem necessary, and you could collectively defend your collective property from individuals or other collectives trying to take it. And that's kind of the left libertarian view that we're lost again.
Well,
I have to start flipping tables.
Things are about to get nasty in here.
This is going to take so much longer than we originally planned.
Yeah. Well, let's
just regular record it and then just upload it later.
Yeah.
Good for the algorithms, but...
What does it say beneath that? Finish?
Finish. Yeah. Due to... Oh.
Hey.
So, all right.
Big face.
So we've been talking a lot about... the philosophical angle, the different, you know, minarchist and anarchist, and left and right libertarianism. And, you know, like I'll say with anarchists, and I want to kind of like start focusing more, making the transition to, you know, how these different schools of thought, how to apply it locally. But, you know, a couple of comments I would like to say. I kind of sympathize with anarchists. I think that would be a great world if it works, but there's some things that I can't work it out for myself, how in an anarchist society we would defend ourselves from attack from Russia or China or anybody, you know, how, you know, and I'm sure communities could defend themselves. I'm sure, like, in Frederick County, and even breaking that down further to streets and different places, that communities could defend themselves from other communities, and you know, in a post-apocalyptic universe. But I can't work out how it's going to work. There's some things I can't understand. Like, you know, and another one is I'm not sure, and it's not a criticism of it by any means. And now I'm getting a phone call. I'm literally getting a phone call. We've had to switch to the phone to live stream because the repeated technical problems with the laptop, and now I'm getting a phone call from an unknown number.
It's probably Brad.
It's probably an anarchist.
Slide up to decline.
And what's that say?
Broadcast paused.
We're resuming.
All right, we're resumed. Sorry about that. Let's tilt it forward a little bit is the problem. No, the other way.
The other forward. There we go.
Technical problem. I'm sorry we're having these problems, but phone calls can't be helped. So anyway, with anarchists, I sympathize, but it's just not something I'm ready to commit to. I'm more of a classical liberal slash minarchist, somewhere in that great area of school of thought. I think really the question is, and bringing up Jason, I don't want to give Jason Statham too much free press because I have problems with Jason. Jason doesn't have any kind words to say about the LP, but he is right most of the time. So I will say, but I do like Jason Stapleton's,
his train analogy.
The train analogy. I do like the train analogy. I think that's perfect. I think we talked about that last week in our social, where if there's a liberty train and all the people who want individual liberty or liberty in general are on the train's going towards liberty. Where the destination is, where the very end of the track is, it doesn't matter. But we can discuss each other's stops when we get to them. But right now, we know that we're not in a liberty stop. We are in a very statist, big government train station, and the regulations won't let us start the coal engine, and the point being, as I ramble on, we need to get going in the same direction, and then, as Jason says, start discussing where to stop once we're there. So really, like, how do we apply libertarianism locally? And we're a libertarian party, and to kind of one more time discuss some of the philosophy. The Libertarian Party has a statement of principles. It has a platform. It's very clear where the Libertarian Party stands on things. Now, each state party and each county affiliate and all individual libertarians can work towards their own end, but the Libertarian Party is very specific on what it sees the role of government is. So I just want to throw that out there, that if you really want a crash course on libertarianism, there's no greater place to start in my mind than the Libertarian Party platform, because it breaks down issue by issue the most kind of like common libertarian stance. Literally a kid screaming in the background. This could not be going better. So let's start with Heather. Heather.
What?
That kid is angry.
I want to go back to the train analogy, because if you've never seen it before or heard it, you probably wouldn't pick up kind of what we're saying, or you might not be able to decipher it. So the way Jason Stapleton lays it out is, you've got a train, and the thing with trains, it's not like a taxi where you can just make a left and head in the other direction and then go another and like flip back and forth. A train's going in one direction. It doesn't U-turn. It's not going to, it might slow down, it might stop, it might speed up, but it's going in one direction. And so his idea is the end goal, I guess, or the end destination would be the most extreme form. So I guess that would be anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And so
voluntarism would be another word for that.
Okay, so that's the end destination. And I don't think, I don't think that would be my end goal or like an ideal goal. Who knows? Like, maybe it's awesome when we get there, but that's part of the other thing is, I'd be on the train. Well, all four of us would be on the train. We might decide, once we get to, at some point the Republicans or conservatives are gonna say I'm good here, and they'll get off. But to that point, they will we'll all support legislation promoting liberty or deregulation or something, because you're moving in the direction of liberty. And so it's something that everybody can get behind. So there's all these different factions and this and that, but when it boils down to the most essential, you're supporting liberty or you're not. And so if you are, that you're on that train and you continue to progress, I guess eventually towards anarchy, but you might say at this point, like, I'm good here, I'm done, like, I can't support what you guys are doing anymore. And so it continues on. I'd probably stop at the minarchist, I guess, with the definition that these guys and Heather have given, that's kind of where I'm at. We might reach a point, say it keeps going, we might reach a point where I'm like, yeah, that's it. Or like everybody's like, yeah, okay, maybe we went too far. Maybe we should scale it back a little. But that's the thing, is like, people like to, they argue the philosophies and this and that. We're so far from that. Like, our train's not even started.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's the biggest thing, is kind of get everybody. You're either for liberty or you're not. If you are, like, you know, I'll agree if a Democrat proposes, you know, decriminalizing marijuana. I'm for it. That's promoting liberty, you know? And then they say, like, well, we're going to, you know, raise taxes on the rich so we can increase minimum wage. Nah. Well, I'm not, you know, I'm not with you then. So the train is not, you know, it's only going one direction. We're not going to go back. But we kind of, that's the, like, the quandary. Like, how do we get everybody on the train and get it moving? And so that's what, you know, and I'm a big believer now that at first I said it was from top down, you know, we'll get presidential candidates and this and that and Congress. But I think the more I've evolved, I think it starts at the local level. And I think that's what Mark was starting to say, how we can affect change at the local level, how you can express these ideas and embrace them in Frederick County. You know, not Virginia, not the country, not the world, but starting right here in Frederick County. That's what we want to do.
Yeah, exactly. And I just lost my train of thought. But yeah, you know, that's exactly what I think our focus should be on. And I will say that with state issues like with marijuana and all this, I still think our voice still needs to be out there. But there is a state libertarian party, and there's a national libertarian party, and all of us, you know, we're voting in those elections, and we're having a voice. But as a county affiliate, really, our goal is to turn Frederick County into this libertarian utopia, and show the rest of Virginia. You know, that's what I want to do. I want, you know, we're five officers, and then all the people, and I keep meeting people in Frederick County. Who are libertarians sympathetic or libertarian leaning, or, you know, or tired of the two-party system, or so many reasons where they say, yeah, you guys, you know, you got some good ideas. I had a very prominent person in local law enforcement tell me that libertarians had some good ideas. So I'm not going to put that person out there, but you know who you are, and I doubt you're watching. But again, and another thing is, so the vessel to achieve this, the train, because that's what Ariel was saying. The train's not moving; it's stuck at this train station. So what is? How do we get it going? And we've got right-leaning libertarians, right libertarians in the Republican Party trying to do their thing, like Austin Peterson and Rand Paul and you know, Justin Amash, so many really great thinkers and people that are actually getting elected. And there's, to a lesser extent, in the Democratic Party, although I will make a case for Jim Webb. I think Jim Webb would classify as a left libertarian in some ways. You disagree?
Oh, I don't know enough about him, but in general, I would probably classify, like, most of the libertarian-leaning Democrats are probably more centrist. The left libertarians would probably be closer to I can't even think of anybody. Like, the closest would probably be Bernie Sanders, but that's
terrible.
Oh, my
goodness. No. Bernie Sanders is not a libertarian. I'm sorry.
That's an accurate statement, but I think that's probably the closest. If you took what he wanted, the end goal that he's shooting for, and put a more libertarian method to it, that would be a left libertarian.
And his goal and his movement was around empowering people and people being more prosperous and corporations being more
having less power, and
you know,
they do now.
And really, so there are, and that's I think why Gary Johnson was courting that group of people. But you know, of course, our methods to get there, you know, are quite different. Socialism, whether it's called democratic or communism, is not a libertarian thought in my mind. And that's what another thing we've got is this. Like, I don't know about Charles' Facebook. My Facebook has been blowing up with "rent is theft" from far left libertarians, is all I can say. I'm not going to say names, but these people, like, I got 2,000 Facebook friends, and, like, there are some people out there that have some crazy thoughts and are passing it off as libertarianism. And so that's why my focus continually moves to more Frederick County, because I can't deal with the crazy that's out there. So that's why, again, I think the Libertarian Party platform is a good starting spot for all libertarians to look at and say, these are our goals. This is what we should be working towards. So let's get back to how to implement it locally. Let's talk about how does the Libertarian Party of Frederick County, a bunch of libertarians, how do we start turning this into the libertarian paradise of Virginia?
I think step one is start following what the Board of Supervisors is doing. It's Wednesday nights, twice a month. They meet downtown. I've gone to a handful, and unless something like raising property taxes on the agenda, there's like a handful of people, and it's like the same handful of people over and over. People just kind of aren't paying attention, and when someone's not paying attention to you, you can get away with murder. I mean, you can do whatever, and, you know, they're not getting any opposition. No one's voicing, you know, any opposition, saying like, we don't really think this is a good idea for you to do that, and so they do it. They take a vote, and I mean, it was. I think one thing that really started a focus on Frederick County for me and getting involved and at least having a say in this was a couple years back when they voted to raise property taxes, and the room was packed, and it's always the same thing. Like, it's packed, and like 98% is teachers, and teachers are like begging and saying, you know, like, you got to do it for the kids. So naturally, like, that turns into like, if you don't want to raise taxes, you hate children. Why do you hate the children?
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to do it for the children. One woman she literally begged the Board of Supervisors to raise her taxes. Those were the exact words out of her mouth. And I don't know, I almost punched myself. I didn't know what to do. But it was nuts what people say. But, you know, it's overwhelming majority, and the whole, like, do it for the kids, and they raise taxes. And with the votes, it was a handful of votes that they went down the line, and in 10 seconds, like, your property taxes went up, and that's it, you know. And it's like, that much power by so few people and affecting so many people, like, you gotta start following this. So I think that's step one. And the thing is, with my schedule, sometimes, you know, I work 3 Wednesdays and I'm off 6, so I can catch the ones I can make in person. And if not, they have a YouTube channel. They record every single meeting, and you can, you know, if you subscribe, find Frederick County Government, subscribe to it, and it'll come up every time they have a new one posted, and then you can follow along, and then, you know, comment, make your voice heard, or attend the ones that you can and refer back to those ones, so they know that people are watching. And that's a big thing. They need to know that people are watching, and come election time, people are voting. If they're not holding up their bargain, if they're voting against kind of what their party platform is. Apparently Republicans are against tax increases, and a lot of Republicans voted to increase your taxes in Frederick County. So, you know, I don't know how you defend that.
And that was that the meeting that I was at and I spoke at?
Yeah.
Yeah, and not only were teachers and you know, people coming out saying, raise my taxes so we can pay the teachers more, people were bringing their teenagers to speak in front of the Board of Supervisors saying how much their teachers needed this raise. And there's something I want to dispel about. I have no problem with people trying to get a raise. People earn, you know, everybody makes as much money as you possibly can. That's fine. But when it comes at my expense, when you know, they tax me to pay you, then we've got a problem. And the justification to pay Frederick County teachers more money is always because Loudoun County pays their teachers so well. And so a couple of things to consider about Frederick. There's a difference between Frederick County and Loudoun County. Loudoun County is the number one county in the nation with median household income. They are the richest county in the United States. Frederick County is 25th in Virginia. So there's no way that you can say Loudoun County is paying their teachers this much, we need to be paying our teachers this much. I'm sorry that we're losing good teachers in Loudoun County. That's the way it works. You can't break your people's backs. That's the market. Exactly. That is the free market. You can't compete with that. You know, I mean, there's just so many examples of, like, you know, when you're that, your money base is your money base. You just can't raise taxes to compete with the richest county in America.
So I'm guessing we've talked a little bit about some of the illibertarian things that are happening and how we can, like, look to address it. But what are some of the solutions? Like, how do we have good schools when Loudoun County next door takes all the good teachers? What is the libertarian answer for some of these problems that we're encountering? Would be a good direction to move.
Does the homeschooler want to jump in on that one?
Yeah, I mean, like, we talk about education because it takes up, what, like 64% of the budget for Frederick County. I think what you probably need to begin to do is to educate people about the fact that education doesn't mean you have to go to a physical giant school, that there's just so many different options that you have, especially now that we have the internet. I mean, you've got you've got basically free education that you can get at home. You know, you can start a co-op, you can send your kids to private school, you can start your own school. I mean, there's just, like, so many options that people just don't think about. And it's kind of like getting people to think outside the box. For education is very difficult because we all grew up in that. Well, I mean, I did.
Right.
I know there's probably homeschoolers that are libertarians, but, you know, like in the school setting. So, I mean, when I started homeschooling, it was kind of difficult to get outside of that box and to kind of explore, like, different ways that I could educate my child without having them sit at a table and work on a worksheet. That it can be so much more dynamic and organic, and just so I guess just to kind of get people to think outside of the box with that. What do you guys think?
Absolutely. You know, with education, well, like you said, people need to be educated on the options. And remember, you and I were at the Frederick County Fair when the Democrat came up to me and was like, and I was kind of standoffish because, like, there's this rule, all right? If you're working a fair, and you're working a fair under a libertarian booth, and, you know, you don't go up to the Republican or Democratic booth and just, like, troll them. Like, all right, you know, you don't go there. So this woman come up to me. She's working in the Democratic booth at the Frederick County Fair. She's got her Democrat shirt on, and she's got her luau stuff on, and all the different things, the gimmicks they use. And she comes up to us, and she's looking around, and she says, so tell me about your guy. And our guy, I guess, is Cliff Hyer. He is running for governor as a libertarian in Virginia this year. She says, tell me about your guy. I was like, well, you know, he wants to eliminate or exempt the first $60,000 of household income from the income tax. And she goes, oh, and how's he going to do that? How's he going to make up for that? And like, I can already tell where this is headed. And I know, like, there's no way I'm convincing this person to vote for Cliff Hyer. This is a Northam voter without question. She's working the Democratic booth. So I'm just like, all right, we can troll each other for a little while, I guess. So I was like, well, I guess he's going to cut education and health care. And I forget what all I said, but, like, the most thing to make a Democrat cringe is what I come up with. And she's like, how are you going to cut education? Don't you care about the poor kids? Don't you care about the kids in the ghetto? That's her exact words. She said, what are you going to do about if the live stream is going again? But she said, what are you going to do about the kids in the ghetto? And so we started talking about charter schools and school choice and vouchers and anything kind of like to you know, talk about school choice. And she's like, that sounds great in theory, but it's just not going to work. And she's like, I'm like, well, you know, how do we know it's not going to work, you know? She's like, well, I've read about some charter schools in Florida that are just failing and they're not doing well. I'm like, oh, great. You read some internet articles on some charter, I'm sure it came from Mother Jones or something, about some charter schools in Florida. And she's like, can you name any place in the world where that kind of school systems work? And unfortunately, I couldn't because I was starting to get frustrated with this troll. But evidently, like, there's some charter schools in New York that are doing very well. And I hate to take up all the camera time.
Well, yeah, but for charter schools, for private schools, there are a lot of instances where that's been working. The developing world, India, Pakistan, that is the primary way the poor in those areas learn. It's usually through a charity that's sponsoring it, which some people can disagree on. It's usually a religious base, but that's generally where they are anyway. Even the public schools there have religious components to the education, especially when it's a religious government anyway. But the private schools there outperform the publicly funded schools. Africa has a lot of the same thing. Poor neighborhoods in Atlanta, Georgia, a lot of the parents in the suburbs around there, the poor neighborhoods, have taken their kids out of the already failing schools and started education co-ops where they take turns homeschooling, basically. There are lots of instances where the public schools are already the failing option. You can't do much worse than the public school in an inner city ghetto, so anything is pretty much an improvement. But those are some examples of how that's been handled elsewhere and how it could be handled if we do not raise teacher salaries. We could find other alternatives for that, and the children will be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some of these ideas are, like, you know, charter schools in Frederick County and school vouchers and opening up school choice and this and that. These might be several stops down on the, going back to the railroad analogy, these might be several stops down. So, like, what, as Frederick County residents, can we do right now? What's a baby step? What's the like, get the train started and, like, you know, next destination is? So, like, I think, how about just, like, some of, like every year I pay property taxes, and property taxes are supposed to go towards education, right, in Frederick County. We have one daughter, and she's almost five now. But once she started getting close to school age, we started looking at schools, and I guess we kind of really didn't think that far ahead when we moved out here. But the elementary school that she's supposed to be going to is terrible. It's either lost accreditation, or it's on the verge of it. So we ended up sending her to private school, and we pay out of pocket thousands of dollars to send her here, but we believe that's best for her, and so we opted to send her to private school. How about, you know, taking property taxes for people? Like, why don't we have some kind of system where if you homeschool, you get a credit, you know? So the money isn't going towards just funding terrible schools. I mean, you're essentially taking a shovel and big piles of money and throwing it into a fire. Because it's not like the spending level goes like this, or actually it's going like this for you. And then the performance is like this, you know, and there's so many more options. You know, kids thrive on Montessori schools, Montessori programs that my daughter's going to, which, if you haven't heard of it, you've probably heard of it, but you don't know what it is, look into it. Look up Montessori Madness, so that's a good option. Or homeschooling. Can we take that money that we're just essentially giving and, like, giving the government to piss away on their education? Can I have that and put, you know, the $7,000 in, or whatever, you know, how many taxes, property taxes we spend or have stolen, can we have that and put it towards her Montessori school, Montessori tuition? Can we put it towards, you know, if it's an approved, you know, because I'm sure there will have to be an approved list of schools and they have to have meet certain criteria, or if you homeschool, you have to,
ask
whatever.
Ask permission.
Yeah, so I mean, how about that? How about that as a first step, is give people the option to educate their kids in the best way they see possible, you know? Like all the children that are, like, magically all of a sudden they have ADD or ADHD. If you put them in a Montessori environment, I would be shocked if, like, the numbers just didn't plummet. Because, I mean, just looking at that and actually seeing it work firsthand, that's kind of like the magic. I think that's like a magic bullet to get rid of, like, ADD. Because there's not, like, they can get up, and they got, like, I did my little observation. So you sit on this tiny little chair and you're watching all these, like, little 3 to 5 year olds, and there's one little boy and he just gets up and goes outside. And I was like, dude, could you imagine like a traditional classroom if you just got up and left? And I was like, where is he? And then he comes back in, and then some other little girl gets up, goes outside, and I was like, where are they going? So I look, and they go outside and they put on a tool belt, and it's got one pouch full of nails, and they pick up a hammer, and there's a tree stump, and they're just hammering nails. I was like, dude, that's amazing. One,
my son would do that, like, all day.
Right. But, I mean, they're alone. And then you think, like, well, he's just hammering nails. And it's like, well, he's, you know, learning, like, gross motor skills, fine motor skills, mm-hmm. like proprioception. There's a lot going on that, mm-hmm. you know, you're learning a lot of stuff. I mean, he's, and it's not like, it's a 3-year-old swinging a hammer. You know, he's swinging a hammer, he's probably swinging a hammer better than I did, you know, or better than I could. But it's, there's a lot of options out there, and I think just giving people the ability to exercise those options or to look at them or to pick those that they see fit, I mean, that's a good step, you know, and bring that up. Bring that up to the supervisors.
I think that's generally the libertarian solution to a lot of things, is to let people have more choice, because that's how people improve their circumstances. It's not coming from a government decree that you will now make more money or that your kid will now have a better school. It's having the option to choose to make better choices for yourselves that improves people's conditions. And with education, that's definitely been the case. There's been a lot of studies that the United States has been spending more and more and more per student than any other country in the world, and our outcomes have not improved. And the biggest thing has been that there has been such a resistance to other options that aren't present in other schools. Yes, you hear a lot from, I guess you probably might have Democrat friends or even more socialist friends talking about how Finland has, you know, done away with homework and they only go to school for so many hours a day and the teachers get paid so much. But the biggest thing is they do have more school choice than we do in general. Lots of other places have successfully implemented choice models, given people the option to pull out of the default public school option and do something else, and that's where improvements come from. So giving people the either tax credit or vouchers or however we want to start with it to just pursue better options.
Yeah.
Excellent. And you know, to your main point, Ariel, about what can we do? All right, what can each individual do? If you're a libertarian or even a conservative, the conservatives in this area are very big on education spending. They're very in the know. The Tea Party groups. What can each individual do? And what those groups do is they get people to those board of supervisor meetings like you were talking about. They get people, they've got people running for the school board. And if you want to change things, because Ariel is so right, there are just so many people, or there is just so much power in so few people in this county. I mean, you're talking about a school budget of, is it $200 million? Is it the school budget or is it the Frederick County budget that's $200 million? I think it's the school budget.
It's school.
So you're talking about a very small amount of people with an incredible amount of power. And like you said, they face very little backlash unless there is something major that's been in the paper for a week. So we need to get people to the school board meetings, to the board of supervisors meetings. We need to get libertarians and conservatives alike, people that are you know, fiscally responsible people, and believe in things like school choice. We need to get them running for these offices. And I know in the future we have some commitments to do that. And I know, I think the Apple Valley Tea Party has somebody running for school board. Dottie Stottlemyer, I believe, is running for the school board in a district I can't remember. But it might be. Anyway, it doesn't matter what district she's in. But, you know, we need to get local people active. We need. I know there. I can count in my head right now 5 to 10 people that I know locally that are very knowledgeable and very, you know, know these things and have great ideas on how to fix it, but don't want to commit to being active at that level. Even to come to our meetings or, you know, do that kind of stuff, let alone running for office. Running for office is the single greatest piece of activism you can do. That's the best way to get the message out there. So that's something we can start doing, and I'm hoping at some point in the next 5 to 6 years that everybody in this room will run for office as a libertarian and partisan racist. Yes, that includes you, Andrea. So, you know, maybe that'll happen, maybe it won't, but we need more people to come, and running for office is what we have to do. Run for local office, run for the board of supervisors, the school board, Because that's our future. That's our immediate future. You know, we're talking 7 people on the Board of Supervisors?
I think so, yeah.
So we're talking 7 people on the Board of Supervisors. If we get one Libertarian in there, that's huge. That's a consistent no on raising taxes. That's a consistent, you know, let's discuss school choice amongst ourselves. Let's have people come in and talk about these things. And maybe we get 2 Libertarians on the Board of Supervisors. Maybe we get 2 on the school board. I mean, this is enormous. This is even better than state delegate or Congress. You know, Congress would be a huge step for the Libertarian Party to have somebody in Congress. But, you know, we have the Rand Pauls and the Justin Amashes of the world in elected office, and their impact is rather limited. I love them, but their impact on the grand scheme of things is rather limited. And that's why I happen to believe the Libertarian Party is the best option to initiate change there. But local is where we need to focus our efforts, because that's where our property taxes in Virginia are going. I mean, that's where, you know, property taxes, literally, I can't even talk about it. I can't even. So, but I mean, that's where, you know, get involved. Go to your meetings, like Ariel said. Run for office. Run for Board of Supervisors. We'll help you. We'll do whatever needs to happen to get you elected. And it's winnable. The Board of Supervisors is winnable for Libertarians right now. If you run in my district of Stonewall, I will be running. If I still live in this district, I will be running for Stonewall the next time around. I couldn't do it this time. So, you know, Judith, if you're still my supervisor come 2021, I'm coming out for you. All right, I'm going to take you down. Unless you change your mind, unless you turn a Libertarian, I'm coming after you, Judith.
Yeah, so step one, start getting involved. Start paying attention to what they're doing. Go to the meetings. Go downtown on Kent Street and follow along. If you can't do that, subscribe to their YouTube channel and pick out one thing that matters to you and comment on it. So they know that someone's watching, they see the views, but then someone's actually paying attention to what they're doing, what they're saying, comment on it, and just pick one thing, you know? Say that you don't agree with this supervisor's thoughts on this, or you don't agree with that, or, you know, thank your, if they do something pro-liberty, if they vote against raising taxes, thank them. Thank them for that, because I mean, that's the kind of thing they don't, you know, they get a ton of crap all day, probably deservedly for a lot of the stuff they're doing, but, you know, they might not, you know, just let them know that you're paying attention. And then step two, start running on these elections and get in these seats. We need to get liberty-minded people in these seats, and Mark was absolutely correct in saying they're 100% winnable. You're not running for like president or senator, you're running for a supervisor spot. And some of these spots, you know, they're relatively unknown challengers, and they're losing by like a couple dozen votes. Not like 3 million votes or like 3,000 or 300, they're losing by like 30 votes. So that's an absolutely winnable election. And like Mark said, like all of us will do what we need to do to help you succeed in getting in those spots. So.
Absolutely. Do we want to about wrap it up? Because I know Michael and Andrea have to hit the road to Virginia Beach.
Oh, nice.
So let's just kind of close up on a couple individual thoughts. You know, for me, to our central theme of how can libertarianism help us at the local level, we've talked a lot about taxes and education and Board of Supervisors getting elected. But another thing that I really want to hammer home is property rights. That's a big issue for me, because I think it's a central, you know, it's a core belief. You know, what's yours is yours, right? And there's a lot of bureaucracies and a lot of you know, panels here in Winchester and Frederick County that wield an enormous amount of power. The zoning and appeals, the Board of Architectural Review we talked about last time. These local, you know, unelected boards, these appointed boards, just wield so much power to tell people what to do with their property. And I'm blanking on the latest thing, but that's where a libertarian that is in the government, the local government, could have an amazing impact on that kind of thing, to protect people's property, to protect people's money, to, you know, to let people live their lives without the government coming for everything they've got. So that's really another thing I wanted to touch on is property rights to go along with the other things we discussed. Heather? Shoot anything out there you want to talk about.
I think we've covered everything. I can't think of anything.
Okay. Ariel?
I think just to reiterate, how important the local level is. Because, I mean, you know, people are pissed about Trump did this or Trump did that or Obama or, you know, your senator voted against this or for this. And, I mean, really, you can send them an email. Maybe on lobby day you can go down and maybe talk to them, you know, and if they don't like the group you're with, all of a sudden they're magically unavailable for comment and you can speak to some legislative aide or something. But, you know, your property taxes are raised. When you go down there Wednesday night, your board of supervisor has to look you in the eye every single Wednesday. I mean, there's nothing more powerful than that. I mean, you're right there. You're staring them at, you know, in the eye, and they know they're accountable to you. In absolutely winnable elections that could go against them. So, you know, they don't hold up their end of the bargain, you know, and there's going to be repercussions. So, there's a lot of power in the local level, so start getting involved, start paying attention to that stuff, subscribe to the Frederick County Government YouTube channel, start commenting on there, and just get involved, start, you know, get on the train, and let's start the train, you know, right at the local level.
Michael?
I guess for my closing thoughts, there are lots of things that you can do, lots of issues that you can confront your representatives about. But just the main thing as far as libertarian solutions go is that the best way to improve anything really is to have more options, and anything that decreases those options, whether it be a board of supervisor telling you what you can and cannot do with your property, saying that these teachers have to be paid more in order to improve education, that is not enhancing anyone's well-being, because it's limiting options, and that is the best, again, that's the best way to improve circumstances, is anything that gives people more options, more power over their own lives, is how things improve. It's not coming from government making different sets of rules about how things are going to be to improve things, because that, as we've seen, it just doesn't work, no matter what kind of wishful thinking you apply.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, and I just, like, I want to thank everybody for being here, and I want to comment one more thing. You know, Ariel and Mike and everybody's been talking about speaking to your representatives, going to those Board of Supervisors meetings. They listen. Believe me, when that meeting that Ariel was talking about, when everybody showed up, you had about, you know, that room was packed, because they were talking about raising taxes to pay teachers. The majority, I would say, were there to talk on behalf of raising taxes. To raise the teacher's pay, and less than half was there to talk about not raising taxes. You go there and you speak, and they are hearing you, and they are taking that into account. And let me tell you something. They raised our taxes, but it was only half of the tax increase they wanted. So, like, it was literally, like, half were in favor, half were against. Let's raise it halfway. Like, it was, like, you know, you go to your Board of Supervisors meeting and speak, and you fill that room with like-minded people, and you'll get what needs to be done. So again, I just want to, I hope you enjoyed the episode. I'm sorry for the technical difficulties we've had. We're going to get better at this, folks. It's our second podcast. We're still trying some things out. But if you like the podcast, you know, let us know how you thought about what we did. Give us some feedback. You go on iTunes and subscribe to Freedom in the Valley on iTunes. You know, all these things. Just help us out by giving us some feedback and telling us how we're doing, and giving us a little bit of encouragement along the way.
And if there's any topics you want to hear about or discuss, or, I mean, say, like, education's in the pipeline. Like, I really want to do one on education. Especially in Frederick County and just the state of it in general. stuff like that, or if there's any questions you want answered, you know, chime in, mark up, and give us those thoughts, you know, stuff you want to hear about, stuff you want us to discuss, questions you might have.
Yep, and that's it.
Cool.
We done? You want to hand me the phone, and I'll turn off the live feed, and somebody want to hit the computer so we can turn off the hit stop.